Councilman Caleb Collier says that this proposal is meant to protect their Second Amendment rights.
I'm proposing that the city of Spokane Valley issue a proclamation stating that our city is a Second Amendment sanctuary city. Today on Church and State, the problem with American homeownership. We'll also be covering Pope says backward conservatives in U.S. Catholic Church have replaced faith with ideology. And also, return of the mask. Yeah, that's right. I'm going there. Hello, Christian patriots, and welcome to Church and State, where we strive to plug you into the pew and plug you into politics. And I'm your host, Caleb Collier, once again, your favorite far-right shock jock and the most schizophrenic show that you listen to on the American Christian Network. Hey, I got a lot to talk about, a lot of fun stuff to talk about, actually. It's going to be a great show. Before I get into that, once again, always go over to churchandstate.media. This is our website that you can really support us with. Number one, download our shows. Share them with everyone that you can. I think we produce pretty good content here, and I guarantee you some of your friends and neighbors and relatives would love to watch me, primarily just to throw darts maybe at the screen. But you can also take advantage of all of our fine affiliates as well. This is a great way for you to support us by getting some fine products like MyPillow, like the Tuttle Twins, like My Patriot Supply, these fantastic toaster s'mores and grilled cheese sandwiches, as well as the photo brick. There's a lot of great stuff on there. I didn't mention all of them, but go check them out and use the promo code Church and State with a number of those. If you want to donate to us, Church and State, donations welcome, or you can do the Bitcoin. We've made it pretty easy. Chris has done a great job on our website of making it pretty easy to donate specifically to us. Lastly, if you want to get a hold of us, Church and State 1776 at proton.me. All right, I just got back from a great business trip. It was fun. It was a quick one. I took a red-eye flight from Spokane to New Hampshire, and I have never actually been to New England, and it is gorgeous there. I got to tell you, I flew into Boston. I'm not a big fan of the major, you know, big cities, but it was cool to see Boston. It was wicked cool. There you go, Boston. But then drove up to New Hampshire, spent some time in New Hampshire, spoke to some really good conservative groups, constitutional organizations, and then just because, now my wife hates this, but we're currently in a competition that she doesn't believe we're in, and it doesn't matter to me. We're in a competition because I said so, but it's over who has visited the most states, and you know, because of my job, I'm getting the opportunity to fly all over the place and visit some of these. So I'm currently winning. I am currently winning. Yes. That's right. Because what I did was, of course, I'm in Boston. I'm in New Hampshire. I drove over to Maine just specifically just to beat her, literally. Okay. And I was actually sharing this with one of these. It was the Constitution Party of New Hampshire. And one of the girls turns to the guy that was kind of the lead for it, and she's like, I hope Caleb beats his wife. Yeah. And then she's like, I mean with the states, because he didn't know what was going on. He's like, what? No, it's just with the states issue. So victory is mine. Keep rooting for me. But while I was over there, one of the places that I had to make sure, I got done with the event and they wanted to go out to dinner. I went to bed at 1 o'clock. I woke up at 6 a.m. just so I could drive one to Maine and also to Lake Winnipesaukee. Now, why did I want to go to Lake Winnipesaukee? Does anybody have a guess here? Yeah. Go ahead, Chris. That's perfect time for it. Yeah, but Lake Winnipesaukee has a special place.
Lake Winnipesaukee.
Which is spelled
WINNIPPUSAUKEE. That's two N's.
Two E's.
Two N's, two E's. Thank you very much, ladies.
Why not, right? Now, in my opinion, and I know that there is some debate about this, but What About Bob is probably the best Bill Murray movie ever made. Okay. And I know my producer and engineer disagree with me on this one. So I've unmuted their mics temporarily. If they say anything I don't like, then I have the power. But honestly, like, What About Bob is perfect. The movie is so good. Bill Murray is so great in it. I think probably the second best Bill Murray movie was probably Groundhog Day. Now, these two gentlemen disagree with me. Go ahead, guys. Yeah, see, they're all about the Caddyshack. Pat, you're into Caddyshack?
Caddyshack and Stripes.
Stripes is your second favorite?
It is, yeah.
Okay, so they're obviously wrong here. But, I mean, audience, what do you think? You can get a hold of me. Trisha Stay 1776 at proton.me. Go ahead, get a hold of me. What About Bob is so good. And you know what else I loved about number one, Lake Winnipesaukee is absolutely gorgeous. And I went to this place. It's a town called Wolfboro. It is the oldest summer vacation spot in the United States. It actually, it dates back to 1770. So the British were actually going up to Lake Winnipesaukee to go vacation. That's pretty cool. I love history. You know I'm a geek with that. But I loved going up there. I loved seeing it. New Hampshire is stunning. I love what they're doing with the Free State Project. I just wish that New Hampshire, these conservatives, these libertarians, these constitutionalists, 43% of all residents of New Hampshire identify as independent. And yet they continue to have this uniparty system up there. If they just united and realized that the vast majority of them, they have a lot more in common. They are warriors in this fight for liberty. If they just got together, they could absolutely prove that third-party candidates are viable in these United States. So pray for New Hampshire that they would do something like that. Anyway, another reason why you gotta love What About Bob is Richard Dreyfuss. And in fact, I didn't even know this. Pat pointed this out to me. Richard Dreyfuss actually has the Dreyfuss Civics Initiative. This guy is a hardcore patriot. Listen to he's basically going through, he's trying to teach our youth about civics because he realizes that if the youth understand civics, they're the next leaders. And if we can teach them the beauty of our representative government, that our country will fare that much better. Listen to what he says about what makes America great. This is beautiful. The United States of America is one of the first political bodies that gave its subjects distinct individual freedoms, which are outlined in the Bill of Rights. Built from the ideas of the Enlightenment, America was constructed as a nation dependent on the sovereignty of the people, a breakthrough in a world full of monarchies and tyrannies. Our political system emphasizes the power of the individuals by granting citizens the distinctive ability to be part of a sovereign body that elects representatives and impacts policies. Amen. Thank you for being one of these Hollywood-type people that actually gets it, that is not a hardcore leftist that wants to engage in communism in this country. I love when I find Hollywood actors that actually use their platform to push an agenda of freedom. So hats off to you, Richard Dreyfuss. That alone makes What About Bob the best Bill Murray movie right there. Now, you guys pointed out something that I didn't even realize, and I will give you credit on this, okay? Caddyshack, which I'm not a fan of Chevy Chase at all, okay? But Caddyshack, I didn't realize that Donald Trump is actually in that movie. That's pretty wild to me. They actually put that character in it. When I thought about it, what's the guy's name? Rodney Dangerfield. Yes. He's Donald Trump in that movie. And Chris actually showed me a couple of clips from it, and he literally even dances like Donald Trump. Like, he's this wealthy capitalist. He's into real estate. He goes in there. The elites of the golf course absolutely hate him. He's giving money to people hand over foot. It's crazy. I'm like, this is Donald Trump in the movie. So pretty wild. I'll give that one to you guys. All right, moving on to a little bit more of a serious subject. The problem with America's home ownership rate. This comes from Axios, and it is one of the most garbage articles that I've seen as of late. I know I concentrate a lot on a number of issues. You know, I definitely go after the LGBTQ issue, the indoctrination of our children. But home ownership is currently under attack in these United States. And this is another thing that we've got to fight with everything that we have. Private property rights are a natural right. God wrote in Exodus chapter 22, the whole book or the whole chapter is property rights. This is where we can actually examine what occurs when somebody damages somebody's property and who's responsible for it and how much do they have to pay back, all right? This is an idea that is centered on God's laws, and our founding fathers understood that, and they gave us all the right, in this country anyway, to retain private property rights. Now, so much of our wealth in these United States is wrapped up into what you own, what your home is worth. And of course, being that the globalists actually are Marxist through and through, they despise this. They want to oppose this. And so they've written an article talking about how America's decade-long love affair with home ownership is holding back the economy, hobbling the Federal Reserve, and exacerbating a national housing crisis. Can you believe this? Let's just break down those three things. Holding back the economy. How indeed is this holding back our economy? This has always been probably the greatest of the American dream, is to eventually own your own home, to be able to say, this is mine. Now, they've passed a number of laws, a number of taxes that have ensured that even if you pay off your house, you still got to pay your property taxes. And they can, there's story after story, they're heartbreaking, of old people, little old widows or something, that fall into some hard times and can't pay their property taxes, and the government will actually repossess their homes. It's sad. It's terrifying that that happens in this country. No, it doesn't hold back the economy. It actually builds up the economy. Hobbling the Federal Reserve. Now, this is an interesting point for them. You see, those of us that have homes, and especially as of late, you know, we locked in some pretty good interest rates. I know my home rate is somewhere around 3%. And that's a good one. That's a good rate. All right. And what are we seeing in Biden's current nation? Well, we're 7%. We're heading up towards 8%. I mean, during the Ronald Reagan administration, we were at what, 12% for home ownership, for the home loan rate? What does that do? That ensures that people are, number one, going to stay into their homes. Because I know, like, I'd love to leave Washington State. I talk about that openly. But currently, there's no way that I would ever sell my house to go buy a house somewhere else and trade in that percentage rate. It'd make me house poor. So people are staying in their homes, which is, you could, I guess, argue is disruptive to the American economy if somebody doesn't want to sell. And you're definitely pricing people out of the ability to purchase their first homes. But they are arguing that this fixed rate should go the way of the dodo. And imagine that, if the government is able to just observe off of their economy and say, you know, we've hiked these interest rates a number of times, but because people are locked into their rates, we need to address this. We need to attack this. And we need to make it to where the government gets to dictate it and say goodbye to a fixed rate mortgage loan. We'll only have adjustable rates. Will that price you out of your homes? Is this another tool for them to push us into the city centers so that we live in these coffin-sized apartments? I think so. And exacerbating the national housing crisis is their third point on this issue. There's a housing crisis. Why? Well, there's a number of reasons why. Number one, you've given so many incentives out to individuals who will never own homes. People that have figured out that they can play the game, that they don't really care about their quality of life. They just want the free stuff. You've made so many of Americans have a reservation mindset where it doesn't matter where I live, what I do, because I can just be entertained and I can just be given free food and I can live on the street or I can live in a disgusting apartment that's literally falling down around me. What does it matter? I've got everything I need here. You've taken away the drive of so many Americans who wanted to go to work, who wanted to make a better life for themselves and for their children. And part of that was ensuring that they were able to get into a home, their dream home, a home where they could make so many memories with their families and ultimately retire, sell that house, and pass off some of that wealth to the next generation. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, that was beautiful. It was a gorgeous aspect of what America provided for its citizens. That national housing crisis is also occurring because of what you're doing to our economy. You've literally destroyed it. And so, yeah, people can't afford their houses. And it's another step in the process of division. Black, white, homeowner, non-homeowner, a renter. These elites have made it to where homeownership is now part of the problem. It's proving that there is systemic problems in these United States. And now there's going to be a class of people who view people who own homes as the enemy, instead of realizing that no, it's the people behind the scenes, it's the people who make these laws and regulations. These are the individuals that are the true enemy. We can't allow them to take home ownership away from us as American citizens. If you love your home, if you love the security that it provides, then you got to get in the fight against policies like this. Speaking of bad policies, let's move on over to an individual that I really can't stand. Now, let me preface this by saying I am not one of those Christians who views all Catholics as a cult. I'm not one of those Christians who thinks that all Catholics are worshiping a false god and going to hell. I'm not at all one of those people. I've known too many great Catholics that have a really true, loving relationship with Christ. Are there some issues within the Catholic Church? Absolutely there are. And do I question what's going on exactly with this prayers to Mary and some of the saints? Yes, I do. But there are a number of Catholics who have explained that, no, they're not necessarily praying to these individuals. They're asking for intercession. We can debate that maybe at a future show. But the reason why I bring that up is because I'm going to attack the Pope. And I don't want any of our Catholic listeners to come after me. Because I think most, especially in America, most Catholics have an issue with this current Pope. This guy is a Marxist through and through. And now he's attacking you. And he's saying that some backward conservatives in U.S. Catholic churches have replaced faith with ideology. No, sir, that's you. That is you who have done that. You are attacking things that the Bible has laid out clearly. You have taken the Bible and converted it into some social justice theology, and it's wrong. Social justice is not the main point in what we believe in as Christians. Are we charged to take care of the poor, the widowed, the orphaned? Absolutely. But it's not the main point in all of this. The main point is that saving grace of Jesus Christ, that we are all sinners separated. The main point of all of this is to try to live a Christ-like life, to fail and to retry again, to beg for forgiveness and understand that nothing that we do on this earth is ever good enough. It's only the blood of Christ. And you've moved away from that point. You've made it to where we need to start questioning homosexuality. Do we need to evolve as a church? That we just need to be loving in all of this? You're wrong. You're wrong because God says you're wrong. He was meeting privately with a Portuguese member of his Jesuit religious order. If you don't know about the Jesuits, you need to actually research them. They've been a problem for a long, long time. But during the meeting, this Portuguese Jesuit told Francis that he had suffered during a recent sabbatical year in the United States because he came across many Catholics, including some U.S. bishops, who criticized Francis' 10-year papacy as well as today's Jesuits. The Pope acknowledged his point, seeing there was a very strong, organized, reactionary attitude in the U.S. Church, which he called backward. He warned that such an attitude leads to a climate of closure, which was an error. To the Catholics out there, are you going to continue to submit to this individual? I know that there are churches, Catholic churches, throughout the world, one in Spokane specifically, who have rejected the popes since the 60s, and rightfully so. And I think this pope, more than any other pope, is an example of why we can't look to one individual man as infallible, one individual man as the spokesperson for all Christians, or in this case, all Catholics. I mean, even the Protestant church deals with this from time to time, where individuals get into positions of power within specific denominations and make wild claims. And it's split churches, it's destroyed churches. Well, the Pope is currently on a path to destroy the Catholic Church. And it's going to be up to the Catholics, not the rest of us, but it's going to be up to you, the Catholics, to address this head on and to continue to push back like he's seeing already in the United States. You see, he doesn't understand America because he's not American. He doesn't understand that deep in our DNA, when an individual challenges us on things that we know to be true, that Americans as a whole, we fight back against that. He doesn't understand that, and he's fighting against it. He's worried. He's worried that he's going to lose his power in the most powerful state or country in this world. That's his true concern here. So I guess in closing on that article, I just want to encourage you, if you're a Catholic and watch this show, talk to your bishop, talk to the leadership within your church. Ask them what their thoughts are on this position. Ask them if they're going to continue to allow their leader to attack not only God's laws, but the American way of life. Moving on from there, what a story. I've got Return of the Mask. COVID mask man. Oh, there we go. Yeah. The mask. Return of the mask. The mask. That's right. I'm changing the lyrics. You know what? That song's catchy. Chris, is that song catchy? Okay. It's a catchy song, right? And the reason why I used it is because we can quickly take that. And I hope some intrepid person on the internet does just that. Give me credit, please. But I do hope that somebody takes that song and redoes it and says Return of the Mask, because that's what's coming our direction. Now, I was thinking about this, and I came to the conclusion that there is a people group that is excited about the return of the mask. Now, when it first came out, I know there were a lot of people that were like, girl, ugly girls with pretty eyes, this is your year. You know, they were excited about it, right? They could cover everything up. But there's one people group specifically that's got to be excited about this, and it's going to be the English, okay? Now, with a name like Collier, I can make fun of the English, okay? So don't hate on me for this. But you know, you English people, you guys got bad teeth. They're terrible. They're like snaggle tooth. They're like coming out here at all sorts of different angles.
Okay, I get it. I have bad teeth.
Currently being interrupted by Austin Powers. I'm not done yet, Austin. Okay, you guys do. You got bad teeth. All right, I don't know what's going on there. I don't know if it's your diet. You just have a deep hatred or mistrust of dentists. But you guys got to figure this out. Okay, because You got cool accents, I'll give you that. But then when you smile, it's like, ugh, ugh. So I know you guys are excited about the mask, but for us across the pond, we're not too happy about this. We're getting a little bit angry that this is coming back to us. Okay, some public and private employers are returning to mask mandates amid a recent spike in COVID-19. There it is. Are you terrified? Are you scared, ladies and gentlemen? Are you ready to give up your freedoms again because there's a new variant? Students returned to Morris Brown College, a small Atlanta-based historically black college. The university announced it would be imposing a two-week mask requirement as well as a ban on large gatherings and followings. I have a solution for you there. Just do a BLM rally. You remember during the previous pandemic when all across the nation we had these BLM rallies, and what did all the public health individuals come out and say? This one's justified. This is okay. We're not too concerned about the spread of COVID-19 because this is, of course, a social justice movement that needs to be heard. So if any people from Morris Brown College are listening to me, there's your solution right there. Just hold a BLM rally. All of this will go away. But we're also seeing this in other colleges as well. California-based hospitals owned by Kaiser Permanente in California, two upstate medical university facilities in New York have also reimposed mask mandates. And in Kentucky, the Lee County School District canceled classes for 2 days this week and switched to remote learning amid a recent outbreak of COVID. Also, we've got Hollywood Lionsgate is imposing a mask mandate for employees in certain floors of its Santa Monica office building. This is how it starts. This is how they're going to come after us and push another mask mandate on us. Because the article goes on to continue to talk about that masks have been proven to be effective in actually ensuring that you remain safe from this COVID-19 variant. Well, we disagree. And there's a number of articles that we can all point to that show that no, not only did masks not do anything, but they were actually harmful to you. You were having a wet Petri dish plastered over your face, bringing that in over and over and over again. It also increased, of course, you breathing in your own air, which was giving people massive headaches. Think about, have you ever been really cold and you throw the blankets over your head when you try to go to sleep? And how ultimately you can't sleep that way? How you wake up with a headache? Yeah, that's what the COVID masks were doing for you. Now, the article goes on to continue that masks were effective for sure, but more than anything else, it was, of course, the vaccine. Vaccines remain the strongest strategy for avoiding hospitalizations, long-term health outcomes, and death, a CDC spokesperson told Newsweek. COVID-19 vaccines are effective at protecting people from getting seriously ill, being hospitalized, and dying. COVID-19 vaccines also reduce the chance of having long COVID. I've talked about this a number of times on the show about how they use incremental movements to push their agendas. And here it is, right in front of your face. First, they start with, there's a new variant. It's mutated and it's spreading. You get the fear really moving through the veins of your body. Then they start talking about the mask mandates and how we're going to have to return to it. And they get these morons from Hollywood, from the higher education learning centers, to implement mask mandates again so that we get used to it at a smaller scale. But ultimately, they're going to push it upon all of us. I was just in the airports, flying around this country again, and I saw a number of people all wearing masks. It was hard not to laugh at them and to point at them. But ultimately, it's going to culminate with a vaccine. You got to get another one. I thought you already had one. I thought you already had all of the boosters. And you're supposed to be safe. But no, not against this variant. Not against this mutated virus. Now you've got to get another one. And from there, you can watch the ball move. And ultimately, people like you and me, people who refuse to get it, well, we're going to have to be dealt with. We are going to be a danger to society. And you can expect us to be attacked over and over and over again, and our liberties to be stripped away from us. I, for one, will never comply, and I know there's a lot of you that are just like me. Church and State is sponsored in part by Patriot Church and the Constitution Party. I'm Caleb Collier, and I was born for a storm.
Welcome to the fire.